say, you know what, I don't have everything perfect, and I want to go where I can serve a perfect God. Amen. I want to minister to you guys tonight on endurance. On endurance. So go with me this evening to James chapter 1. We're going to begin to read at verses 2 through 4. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word. And God, I will not ask you to bless your word, but God, I ask that you would bless these people, Lord, here, right here and right now. God, I ask that you would open up their understanding in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that your word, it falls on good ground. And Lord, as the word is planted tonight, God, I ask that when we leave, you give us opportunity to live this sermon out in the name of Jesus. Amen. So endurance, biblically, I think a lot of times when we hear endurance, what we're really hearing is survival. We're hearing survival. And endurance, when the Word of God says that, you know, you need to endure, that is not saying that you need to survive. And see, God doesn't want you stuck in survival mode, because God simply, He has better for His children. If God wanted you in survival mode, he wouldn't have worried about saving you. He'd have just let you be what you were going to be. God doesn't want his kids in survival mode. God wants his kids in thrival mode, and that's really what he has for his kids. So endurance, biblically, is not passive survival, but it is active faith. Active faith. Endurance is faith activated. To endure something is to have that faith to say, I am getting through it, and I will endure it. It is not surviving for me. It is God is walking me through it, and I have the faith that I am going through it. So when we see, from now on, when you see in the Word of God the word endurance, what I want you to know is that does not mean God's asking you to just simply survive. God is asking you to be full of faith, to have faith activated, to faith filled perseverance. So in James chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now that just sounds insane to me. I'm never happy when I have trouble. But here's what we have to do. We have to try to understand that just because something is not going the way that we want it to go does not mean that we cannot have joy in our life. You can have joy at all times. The book of Psalms says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to praise God no matter what. I'm going to be a Christian no matter what. I'm going to stick with God no matter what. If you're going through trials, no matter what, I'm going through those trials. I've decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. I will not stay in the trial. I will go through the trial. So the word tells us to consider it pure joy. You can consider it pure misery, or you can consider it pure joy, and that's going to be your choice. But the word of God, this is not advice. This is what he's telling you to do. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And most of the time when the believer is going through a battle, there are many different kinds of trials that they're going through. A lot of times it's not narrowed down to just one thing. And that's why we have developed a worldly saying called, when it rains, it pours. Right? We've all heard that. Guess what? I believe that there's some truth to that, because it seems like when you have a trouble, you blink and it seems like you just have had a rain sprout of trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God says, hey, consider it pure joy when you have trials of many kinds. There is a promise that is tied to enduring. Because you know that the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete. So that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. See, when you refuse to stick it through, then you're going to come up with lack in your life. Because, see, the Word of God is going to challenge you to persevere. The Word of God is going to challenge you to consider it joy when you face trials. The Word is telling you to persevere, because when you don't and when you quit, there's going to come up lack in your life. We talked about lack this morning when the rich young man, he said, where do I lack? And God, Jesus told him one thing, and the cost was too much. See, God will expose lack, and many times that lack is because we quit. We couldn't endure. We chose not to. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. God is calling people to a mature level of salvation. When you get saved, that's not it. You're not done. Then you have to mature. It's like when we have a baby. We don't want them to sit there and drink the bottle till they're 27 years old, right? That would make us pretty bad parents. God's the same way. He's saying mature. Mature. Some of the most immature people I know is people that have been saved 20, 30 years. So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 12, just a few verses down. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. What is this saying? That there is a blessing in simply persevering under trial. There is a blessing connected to your trial. It's not just a senseless trial. There's a blessing connected to it. When you're going through something and you want to throw your hands up and say, God, why me? You need to throw your hands up and say, God, why not me? Lord, if you've called me to go through this, then by golly, you must be going to equip me to go through it. And God, what you said, that's the only thing that's going to matter. Lord, I'm going to stick with your word because you are the author and you are the finisher of my faith. And God, because of that, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. See, when you get frustrated, it's not time to quit. When you get tired of your situation. See, sometimes God's just looking for people to get sick and tired of their life and how it's been, and you call down the anointing that He gave you, and you just say, enough is enough. And God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Amen. Some of you here, God's just saying, I'm ready for you to call down the end. See, in the Bible, God gave a certain man authority, and He said, it ain't going to rain until I cotton pick and say it's going to rain. Amen? See, you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. And if God calls you His own, you've got the authority and the dominion that He gave you in the book of Genesis. When you follow that, He gives it to you all the way through Revelation. Amen? Now, I'm going to just, boy, I feel the Lord. God is good. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. There's a blessing for you, and that thing is tied to that trial that you want to give up on. I wouldn't give up on that if I was you. I'd walk through that trial because there's a blessing in there for you if you persevere. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. See, sometimes in your life, you're going to have those trials, and you're saying, God, what do I do? Look here, when you've stood, God's asking some people just to stand. And there's some days that's all you can do is stand, and he knows that. And what does he do? Well, he comes and he just stands right there with you. Endurance is not pointless. Oh, I'm just going through this and it's for no reason. Nope, endurance is not pointless. There's a purpose for it. God isn't just getting you through something. God is not just getting you through something. Lose that mentality that is called survival mode. Oh, if I can just get through this. No, the heck with that type of thinking. He is building something inside of you through that trial. That is the beauty of the trial of your faith. And it is worth more than anything that you could ever go buy at Walmart. It is worth so much more. The trial of your faith, what you're going through right now, that is going to be the most valuable thing to you because it's going to grow you in ways that you could never grow before. God knows what you need to grow. He knows what you need to be challenged. He is building something inside of you, and if you quit early, you're going to interrupt that process. If you quit early, you're going to interrupt that process. How many of you know that God has a process? He does. He is a God of order, and He is not a God of disorder. And because of that, see, if you're at the beginning of a trial, if you're at the middle, if you're coming towards the end of it, God has been with you the whole time. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. I'm talking about endurance this evening, and endurance is not pointless. Endurance is not survival mode. Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus is the ultimate example of what endurance really is. Jesus is the ultimate example of what endurance really is. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. See, there's things that want to attach themselves to you in the middle of your battle. Maybe that's fear. Maybe that's worry. Maybe that's doubt. Maybe it's unbelief. But there are things, most of them spiritually, and they want to attach themselves to you right in the middle of the trial of your faith. And the Word of God tells you exactly right here what to do with what's wanting to come and to be a leech on you. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Everybody has a race in this life. It's your life. And God has, He has mapped it out. He has worked it out. He has marked it for you. He's marked it out for you. You're not here by accident. You're here for purpose. And not only are you here for purpose, but you are full of purpose. And the devil wants to get you to think that nothing makes any sense in your life anymore and everything is just... No. Let's bring it around full circle tonight. Verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of what endurance really is. Of what endurance really is. God didn't endure the cross because it was easy. He endured the cross because it was necessary. There are some things in your life and they've come and they've been trials. Maybe you're going through it right now and you're saying, God, this isn't easy. Look here. No, it's not. And don't you get mad at the messenger, but it's necessary. It's bringing you to a point that when you look back, somebody needs to hear this. When you look back, you're going to say, Daddy God, thank you for walking me through that and thank you for letting me go through it because it's really made me. Because it's really made me. When I look back at some of the worst things that I've been through, right now I am so thankful for them. No, they weren't easy. Yes, they broke my heart. Yes, they made me question a lot of things in life. They even made me question God at times. And I can keep that real with you because God has been faithful. God has been faithful. God's not mad at you when you question Him. At some point, He wants you to get to a point where you don't question Him. But God's not mad at you when you sit there and you say, God, why? He just knows... Hey, we got to work on this. He did not endure it because it was easy. He endured it because it was necessary, and He knew what was ahead. He knew what was ahead. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God's trying to tell somebody in here, look here, let me take the weariness off of you. God's asking somebody in here tonight not to lose heart. God is working on it. He is working on it. I think there's some folks in here and you just say, I am just numbed over. I have been through so much that I just feel numb. I have been through so much that I just feel numb inside. Is there anybody like that tonight? You can say, I feel numb inside. I want you to just stand up right now. God is pinpointing some things out tonight to people. You just feel numbed over. You've felt so much, you feel like you can't feel another thing. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now, God, that your children, God, that have stood up tonight, Lord, I thank you right now that they begin to feel their life again. Lord, that they begin to be present in their life again, that they begin to feel who you are again. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, that beyond the shadow of a doubt, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak to numbness and I speak to just complacency, and I tell it to go right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're causing us to enjoy our life again, and I speak to that numbness and I tell it to be replaced with joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't lose heart. Endurance requires vision. Endurance requires vision. A lot of times when we get in the middle of a trial, we say, I can't go through this no more. I can't take not one more day. You need to see, and you need to begin to catch a vision of the end of that trial, of the end of it. The devil wants to talk you into thinking that it never has an end. Let me tell you something. Everything has an end. Everything has an end. Every single thing. Endurance requires laying aside the weight. Ask yourself, what is draining your strength that God never asked you to carry? A lot of times we are weighed down by things that God never told us to carry. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We're talking about endurance this evening. Endurance is not survival mode. Endurance is not pointless. God is building something inside of you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time. There is a time and a season for every single thing under the sun. There is a time for it. And we keep saying, I spoke about this morning, and you know, a lot of times we want to throw up our hands and we want to quit because we say, well, God, you haven't done this yet. You know, just because God hasn't done something doesn't mean he's not going to. It's one of two things. It's either not in the right time or he has something better for you. Amen. See, sometimes we put a limit to where God didn't want a limit. God likes to spoil his kids. He does. He likes to spoil them. And a lot of times we settle. A lot of times we settle just because we think, well, God, if you'll just do this, then I'll be happy. Look here, you won't be. You'll never be happy with less than what God had for you. That's why you shouldn't settle. You'll never be happy with less than what God had for you. That's why it's important not to settle. It's important to endure. It's important to push through. It's important for you to see the end of something. I know many, many years ago, I'm about to have a 15-year-old son, Carson Paul, sitting right here on the front row. And I'm going to keep this very real. Something happens to a woman when you have a kid. I can't describe it, but I think it is one of the most powerful forces on the planet. It just is. It is like some instinct grabs the biggest piece of you, and it has you for the rest of your life. And how many of you got some things in your life that have caused you so much pain that you try not to feel that pain? So you try to stay away from, maybe it's a memory, maybe it's even a certain topic, it's a this or it's a that. And I'm just going to keep it real. I'm just going to keep it real. Never did I think that I would raise my children not with their father. Never did I think that. And that has caused me an immense amount of guilt and grief, to the point where I had a house for sale in Paris, and it was for sale for 2 years, and it was because I couldn't, in my emotions, let it go. Because the reason I couldn't let it go is there was one spot left, and that was in the attic. And in the attic was all of our memories of my family that just fell apart. And I told God, I said, God, I just want to sell this house so I don't have to keep on seeing it. And he said, Kelly, you're going to have to go in the attic. And I was madder than a wet hen that day I got up in that attic. It took me over 2 years to get up in there. And I marched my Puerto Rican butt up there, madder than a wet hen. And I had one of the most meaningful conversations with God that I've ever had. And I told God just how mad I was. And I just started chunking those boxes right down those steps. I was mad as heck. But I'm telling you, God met me right up in that attic. He said, Kelly, guess what? I've still got a plan. I've still got a plan. And Kelly, not only do I still have a plan, see, when the unthinkable happens to you, the thing that you thought would never happen, and then it happens, God's asking you not to get mad at Him. He's asking you to just let Him be who He is. If you've got to throw everything down the hole of that attic, then so be it. Get your butt up there and say, I'm going to go through this, and I'm just going to start chunking it. Well, it went from the attic, and it eventually made its way down to our man cave. So now it's been like a few years, Mike, and those boxes were still there. And Frank said yesterday, Sweetie Pie, love of my life, we're going to have to address those boxes because we have run out of room. And I thought about the God that met me in the attic. And I said, Lord, I believe that there's some healing that you want to take place right here in this man cave. See, God knows it's been gut-wrenching. God knows it's been painful. God knows it broke your heart. But what He also has is He has a vision of you on the other side of the heartache. Can God still give you a beautiful life after the unthinkable happens? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. I got up in there in that man cave, and I ran into a tiny, tiny little red Cardinals ball cap. And it was this kid's right over here. And I had that ball cap before I ever got pregnant with him. I had it when I thought I couldn't have a baby. I made a nursery, even though I didn't think I could ever have a kid. And God told me, this was many years ago. He's fixing to be 15. He said, Kelly, every time you get sad and grieved in your soul, I want you to go in that nursery and I want you to hold that ball cap and I want you to beg me for your kid. And when I held that in my hand yesterday, I was reminded of just how faithful of a God that we serve. God is asking you to get out of survival mode and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to endure this. This is not pointless. God, this has a purpose. Lord, you are building something inside of me. God, you will not let it ruin me, but God, you will let it make me. Well, then I got in another drawer and I found his little outfit that he went home in. And I looked over my shoulder and Frank wasn't paying attention and I just started crying over that little outfit. And I'm going to tell you something. Carson Paul, I don't tell you enough, but I want you to know, look at Mom. I could not be prouder of you. And I don't think I could love you any more than I do, but somehow tomorrow I'll love you a little bit more than I do today. I love you with all of my heart, and I'm so glad that God gave me my kids. And I'm going to tell you something. God is so glad that you're his kid. He loves you in here tonight, and he knows. He knows what's going on with you. He's asking you to endure. It's not for nothing. It's not for nothing. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I want to give you a very huge nugget tonight. The harvest is tied to endurance. The harvest is tied to endurance. I'm going to read this verse to you again, and I'm going to prove that to you. You need to get that deep into your soul. The harvest that you're asking God for is tied to endurance. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The harvest is tied to endurance. The harvest is tied to endurance. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, yes. Verse 31. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to actually read verse 32. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Endurance is not about willpower, and that's where we get it wrong quite a bit. Endurance is not about willpower, because willpower will run out at some point. Have you ever tried to diet and you didn't make it past the first, like, 8 hours? Here's what I do. I'll think about dieting, and I'll go and eat something like a pizza buffet or something, and when I'm really good and full, I'll tell myself, that's it. That was my last good meal. I'm going to hit that dieting, and we're going to turn this around until I get hungry again. Why is that? Because willpower alone is not going to get you there. What gets us through? Dependence on God. Endurance has a lot to do with depending on God. Depending on him. Because if you ain't with him, you're thinking, how am I going to go through this? Look here, depend on God. Depend on God. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When is the strength renewed? When your hope is in Him. When you're depending on Him. Endurance flows when you keep connected with God. When you keep connected with Him. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. What is God asking you in the middle of the battle when you're trying to get yourself through, when you're trying to endure, when you're trying to persevere? What is He asking of you? He's asking for you to keep the faith. To keep the faith. You can always see somebody that's a true believer and somebody that's just faking. Because faking it till you're making it does nothing but confuse you. God, I ain't leaving you no matter what. Lord, if it don't work out, I'm still not leaving you. I have kept the faith. God's asking you, keep the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearance. I'm telling you tonight that endurance is also tied to promise. Endurance is tied to promise. What has God promised you? There's a few different types of promises for the believer. Number one, there's promises in His Word. If you will get in there and you'll get to know what the Word promises, that's going to help you. Because endurance is tied to promise. But there's also, in the secret time, in the alone time, in those moments that you have with God, and you need to be having those, God will speak to you and He will give you some promises and He will say, this is what I'm going to do for you. And when God speaks to you and He promises you something, you have to know that endurance is tied to the promise. Endurance is tied to the promise. Endurance is tied to the promise. If you don't endure, you're not going to see that answered prayer. Because you stopped right in the middle of the process. God's wanting some people to finish strong. Will you finish strong with Him? Last place for me this evening, Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The harvest is tied to endurance. Endurance is not about willpower, power, and endurance is not survival mode. And God always ties endurance to promise. What has He promised you? What has He promised you? You know, when I went into the man cave yesterday, I had my two nightstands that I had in my old house. And I told my husband, I said, I'll not take one thing from... I don't want nothing reminding me of my past like that. And those nightstands will not be going into the new house. But as I pulled the drawer open, I saw little baby things of Carson's. There was baby things of Colton's. And Dad, in the back of that drawer, there were two little baby shoes, two little camouflage shoes, and I held them in the palm of my hands. You know whose those were? Evan's. Evan's. And I love Evan like he was my own kid. And when I was 18 years old, Evan was born, and I used to have him sleep right by my bed. And I used to get up, heart pounding, thinking, oh my gosh, is that baby still alive? And I used to get up with him at night. And when I held those shoes in my hand yesterday, I said, God, I'm relying on your promise. When the promise seems very far away, a lot of times that's when it's at its closest. The devil wants to really make that look jacked up for you, to get you to doubt, to get you to stop believing. Remember that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold, and it tells us how to hold. I love God's word because he'll tell you what to do, and then he'll tell you how to do it. He's not going to tell you to do something without instructing you how to do it. God is not a child abuser, and he's not a mean God. He's not going to say, I want you to do this incredibly hard thing and not give you a way to do it and not show you and tell you how to do it. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. See, your salvation and the God that you serve, that's not just a Sunday morning thing. That's a life thing. That's a way of living thing. God's asking you to hold to it and don't swerve while you're holding. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Y'all stand to your feet. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I call down the peace of God that passes all understanding right now. God, you wouldn't have me preach a message about endurance if somebody wasn't going through it. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over the folks in here tonight, and I speak strength over them right now. I speak faith over them right now, and in Jesus' name, I declare that truly better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And God, I thank you that you're bringing them through it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. We love you.